This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Picture this. You're a street hood. You're a hoodlum. Patrolling around. You think you run the joint. You think you are tough shit. Sometimes you are. You're doing things that you shouldn't be doing. You're running around and you're snatching old ladies' purses and you're stepping on shoes and not saying you're sorry. You know, those two equal things. And you stumble.
Excuse me, young man, you stepped on my Air Force Ones.
Yeah, what of it, bitch?
These are $300 shoes.
Yeah, you got robbed. Those are regular Air Force Ones. Who charged you $300 for them?
Really? But the guy at Foot Locker, but it was FOOOT Locker.
Yeah. You should have noticed something was wrong.
Oh.
Give me that purse.
Okay. That's an Air Force One purse. That was $1,400.
They don't even make those. You got robbed again, lady. You even robbed three times today.
That the gentleman at Purse Locker was lying to me.
Purse Locker. Listen. And so you move on from that lady. You just robbed her. You feel good. You're walking on the street. It's dark. It's an empty street. It's just you. You see one other guy. So you walk up to him. Do you have the time gag with him? Hey, excuse me, sir.
Yes.
Do you have the time?
Well, I certainly do. It is 5:03 p.m.
Give me that wallet. Stab.
Please. I was on my way to my daughter's wedding.
Oh, yeah? Your daughter's wedding?
Yes.
Well, then I owe you a favor. And so you patch up the wounds real quick.
Yes. Thank you. You owe me a favor now.
Wait, I gave you a favor. I stabbed you and I patched up the wounds.
Oh, okay. That's the favor?
Yeah. But then you see another younger guy walking down the street, and you think you're going to get him. You walk up to him, and he's smoking a cigarette. And he's just as cool as you are. Hey, pal, you got the time?
What's up, man? Yeah, it's 5:12.
Give me that wallet. Wait, ow!
Stab.
Oh, you got me. But I still got your wallet in my hand. And you open up the wallet, and you take out the ID. And you see Riley Patterson. Never underestimate the kicker. That street hood died that day at the hands of Riley Patterson. 17 points worth of stabs.
And Riley Patterson went to that wedding and he got laid
by the bride.
He married the bride.
He married the bride. Because Riley Patterson doesn't have sex out of wedlock.
No. He stole her. He stole the bride. And then they still had the reception, everything.
Yeah. The dad stayed there. The dad who was recently stabbed, he stayed there.
It was really beautiful.
But the moral of the story is, never underestimate the kicker. Welcome to Foosballs.
Welcome, everybody.
Week 8 or 9? Which one?
Week 8 is in the books.
And we're looking forward to week 9.
Week 8 is in the books. It was a bookish week for the books.
It was a weird one.
Can we start off with our fantasy breakdown? Now we are in multiple leagues. We do have our foosballs league.
Yeah.
I am not doing well in the foosballs league, but I did get a win this week, baby. A much needed win.
Oh man.
Would this be the sweetest possible win you could have this season?
This definitely could be, unless I make it into the playoffs. This definitely could be the sweetest win.
from a personal standpoint, right? Like you had this game circled on your schedule.
I didn't until I looked at it. And then...
let's tell the people, you beat Asan on Monday night. Uh-huh. You went in with thinking that your salvation would come in the form of Davante Adams, I imagine.
Yes, I didn't even realize I had a kicker to play still. I didn't even look at it, but I thought it was going to be Davante Adams. Now, let's just say this. Davante Adams should have had a 60-yard touchdown and a 98-yard touchdown. Because
yeah.
He was wide open twice, just on two of the targets that he was not able to receive from our very attractive friend, Mr. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Handsome man.
Bad quarterback this year.
Yeah. It's ugly. Both of, yeah. The 60-yarder was like overthrown, and the would-be 98-yarder was just thrown out of bounds.
Yes.
And the amount of open that he was on both plays was crazy. I'm not saying I could have made those throws. Not with a regulation size football.
That's always been Jimmy G's thing, is yet because he does have a noodle arm, he overthrows guys because he overcompensates so much.
Is that it?
Deep balls. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say I could have made those throws.
Yeah. I'm saying I could have done him with a youth football, I think, which is bad. Every NFL QB should be able to do things more with a real football than I can with a youth football. That's just my policy.
I want to show y'all something real quick.
What was the Nerf football that had the fins?
Vortex.
The Vortex, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome, man.
Can you imagine what Josh Allen could do with that?
Was that the one that used to whistle?
Yeah. It was the best.
This is a real Duke.
There you go.
I haven't put the shaving cream on it and the mud on it yet, so it's still very light skin. But this is a real NFL Duke right here.
Wow.
Bought for me for my birthday by me and Greg's improv teammate, Dhruv Singh.
Really?
Nice.
Dhruv.
That's nice. What's the deal with the shaving
Saints
cream?
Logo on it?
Every team has their logo on it.
That's cool.
What's the deal with the shaving cream? I also had that question, but didn't want to admit I didn't know what you meant.
How they wear in the balls is like they wipe them down with like leather oil, then they do a shaving cream treatment, and then they wipe them down with some sort of mud, and then wash them off, and then that's what makes them like dark and like easy, a little bit easier to like kind of grip it though. Because this one's a little bit like if you've
slippery,
ever,
I bet.
Yeah, it's a little slippery. If you've ever like touched like a real NBA ball. Like, it's hard to palm it. Like, they kind of wear them in a little bit and, you know, get them ready. That real, real true leather is always tough. But this is a real Duke right here. Wow. I can make those throws.
We're going to see. I still pitch, and then people express interest or disinterest in this, that we have an off-season foosballs episode where we have like a punt, pass, and kick competition.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do that. We're going to do combine. We're going to do passing drills.
Yeah.
We all have to try to do the Zach Wilson throw.
Which one is that?
It was the one that like basically got him locked in as the number two pick, and then everyone started doing it. It's like you like... play action, roll out to your left, and then throw it to your right deep.
Okay. Oh, shit. That's insane.
There were a lot of...
We got to do it.
I will say for the bad quarterback play this week, there was some very good quarterback play too. Lamar Jackson. It sucks. So the Steelers had a rough week.
I mean, hold on. As a Lamar Jackson owner on my fantasy team and played you...
True.
Lamar was... fine.
I mean, on specific plays is what I was going to talk about because
I mean, he netted me 11.98 points.
Got the W. Well, you didn't get the W. No, I mean,
yeah, I didn't.
Someone posted a great angle of his throw that he makes to Andrews for the touchdown that was just crazy. I think I said it to you guys where he's like off balance and just kind of sidearms it, and then someone posted another great. Breakdown of Joe Burrow's like insane processing prep, then escapes from a sack, then throws a dart on the run. And just seeing both of those in the AFC North while I have to watch the Steelers offense was very depressing.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah, that Steelers game looked
rough. For some reason, the Joe Burrow clip that I'm referring to is scored by an instrumental version of that Guess Who's Back, Back Again, yeah. Which I think was when Eminem was in that band D12.
Without
yeah.
D12, that was the, that was his group, his big group that he started. He went solo first and he brought all his homies on. Yeah. Look, man, I'm sorry to both of you. My favorite team got a dub this week. Well needed. We are now tied for first in the conference with the Atlanta Falcons because they took an L. They took a fat ass L. Huh?
Who'd you guys beat?
We beat the Colts.
Hey, I haven't been awful lately.
Not awful. Not awful at all. It was a good convincing win.
And it was in Indy, right? It was on the road?
Yeah.
How did Pittman do for you after the trade?
Good. Good. Pittman got me some good points.
Let's see.
What did I get with Pittman? Let's go back to week 8.
18.
18. Pittman got me 18 points. And Evan Ingram got me 16. Aaron Jones didn't do much. James Cook didn't do much. Devontae stank up the joint, but it's not his fault. I did have my other league, I had Burrow on the bench. And I was hoping that Jared Goff could come through. And he did fine, but wasn't great. I need to tight end for next week.
The big headline from the Foosballs league this week, though, is that Hayes has finally been defeated.
Who brought him down?
Sean, if I'm not mistaken. So
emotionally.
By 40 points. So the current standings, Hayes in first, me in second. Listener Steven in third on a points advantage over Sean, who's in fourth. Those are the only teams with winning records. So 8 teams at 500 or below. So I think even if Ryan, you're two games out of fifth, though. 2 games out of fifth. So, like, there's a lot of season to be played left.
Yeah. This team's driving me nuts.
Shit. You want to talk about getting driven nuts? My team is driving me absolute batshit. Devontae Adams is my number one guy. I took him very early on.
Yeah.
He was the best receiver available at the time. You know, this year is the first year that I have put into question my fantasy strategy of drafting a wide receiver first. Now, I know everybody thinks they got a good strategy, but it all comes down to luck in this shit. I do believe that my strategy to draft wide receivers first, because they're more durable, because they usually rack up enough points, that if you can get your hands on a good wide receiver in that first round, I always say take one. Devontae was my best option available. I think I'm sure we're now seeing there was probably somebody else that I could have taken after him, but in that moment, he was the best one to take. He is not proven to be, he's had a couple good games, but it's been rough.
Yeah, he was your second round pick, and he was definitely at that point like a pretty, he was definitely like probably the top player available. You got A.J. Brown in the first round.
A.J. Brown, yes.
A slam dunk.
Yes.
Ah, man, he's absolutely been unreal. Great. I mean, I generally buy into the running or to the wide out first thing too. And this year, I let myself get talked into the idea of bucking that trend. And all three of my teams, I took running backs first. So I wouldn't regret it, Carl, because unless you got McCaffrey, I think you...
All the top running backs have really disappointed outside of McCaffrey. Yeah.
I mean, Chubb, obviously, not his fault.
Yeah, it's a little his fault.
Eckler's been good when he played, but he's missed half the game so far. Like,
Bijan's
fallen off.
Bijan has been a disappointment all year from a fantasy perspective. He's like good for one like good cut or kind of like wild play that Twitter goes nuts for. And then his final stat line is like 14 rushes, 37 yards.
It's almost as if the Falcons would have been better served to use their top 10 pick on another area of their team.
Like Jalen Carter?
Yeah, like maybe this potential rookie of the year, next Aaron Donald type guy would have helped them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe, what do I know?
You know?
My daddy didn't invent FedEx, so what the fuck do I know?
Wait a minute.
Invented UPS.
Invented UPS. Whatever. I don't have to. I don't owe him the truth.
My dad invented UHL.
The United Hockey League.
Wait, what's the DHL? That's my joke.
The Detroit Hockey League.
Yeah.
My dad. We got UHF. A couple.
UHF, the radio.
The Weird Al thing.
The Weird Al movie.
We got a couple trades. None of these really stick out to me except for
real trades.
Yeah, real trades here in the NFL.
Chase Young one is nuts.
Chase Young has Chase. Am I tripping? Has Chase Young not been good?
No,
he's been hurt.
He's been hurt, but he's been good when he plays. Right?
Yeah,
like his rookie year, he was awesome. He looked like what Micah Parsons has become, just like generational talent. Truly, a guy you can build your team around. He was also stepped in day one as a rookie and was like the leader of that team. Like, super vocal, a great rah rah teammate guy. And then he got hurt, and then he sounded like he lost a little bit of his love for the team, if you could imagine something like that happening in Washington.
Oh, in Washington? What?
In Washington? The Commanders? Not loving the Commanders? Not loving being on the Commanders? Are you kidding me? I don't believe it. I refuse to believe it.
If I'm playing there, I wake up every morning, I kiss my Daniel Snyder fat head on the lips. Mm-hmm. It's right next to my bed.
Drive 11 hours to the stadium.
Yes, Mr. Snyder, today I'm going to win for you.
And it answers back, thank you, my son.
Yeah, it's enchanted.
Thank you, my boy.
Yeah. You know, my dad invented FedEx.
Did he, Mr. Snyder?
Oh, my gosh. That one's a big one. They sent him to San Francisco, which is...
For a third, right? A third, yeah. A fifth?
That's bananas to me. It's crazy to me that Bontez Sweat went for what's second. Going to be a very high second round pick. Like
the Bears just redid their Chase Claypool thing. Now, no doubt, Montez Sweat is better than Chase Claypool.
Yeah, there's the Gallant curse.
For now. Put him in a Bears uni and you'll never know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with it just because they've got so many needs to fill. And James Mastriani told us today that the thinking is that it's not a great edge rusher class coming up in the draft. And so Montez Sweat, for a high second round pick, is going to be better than anyone they can get at that point. And they've got money to spend. So I'm not as mad at it as the Chase Claypool one, because that was the writing on the wall was, you could tell right away that that was going to be a disaster.
Well, also, like, my counterpoint to that, and this doesn't apply if there was like another team in the bidding that was going to take Sweat in a trade and then give him a long-term deal. But if there was no other team in the running and you're the Bears, you can just, like, Sweat ain't re-signing in Washington. You could just sign him. They have a ton of cap space. You could have maybe just gotten him in the offseason for the same big contract you're going to give him now. It's not like having these 8 games is going to do you much good and kept your pick. So I don't know.
I would imagine that there was probably other
you're right,
offers.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It just feels like...
That's got to be clearly, it has to be the best one, that second round pick from the Bears.
Do they probably care that much about that second round pick, considering they got like the first and the fourth pick next draft?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, they're going to be able to probably get a new quarterback and then get either a Marvin Harrison Jr. or an Olufoshanu, like a stud left tackle, and they'll be good to go.
Cooking with Crisco, baby.
All right, I withdraw my point. But the Bears are smart.
Time and time again. But I would think that I would rather have Chase Young. Like, Chase Young for a high second round pick makes way more sense to me, just because the potential is insane.
Yeah.
He's like one of the best defensive end prospects ever.
What's his injury?
I think he had an ACL.
Damn. Damn.
Yeah.
That's
a killer. It's a killer. And then I think he had one of those weird torn pecs.
Oh.
He was pulling on his titty too much and
suck this motherfucker. You gonna suck this mother? But he didn't know his own strength.
He should have tied it up. That's why you gotta tie your titties up.
That's why you gotta hashtag tie them titties up.
He was so frustrated.
You gotta tie them titties up.
He was so frustrated with his ACL injury. He really went to town on his titties. And
I know. That's why you need to. It's like being put in a straitjacket for your own good. It's like when they put a cone on a dog after it gets neutered. Like when you tear your ACL, you need to have your titties tied up or you will rip them. It's not your fault. It's the fault of the people around you who didn't take preventative steps.
Yeah, you got to have good people around you.
I'm going on a lecture tour of all the major colleges and NFL teams to talk to their training staffs and tell them about tying up titties.
My boy, Joshua Dobbs, is a Minnesota Viking. I do not like the Vikings. I do not. But I like Josh Dobbs, man. He's moved around a couple times. That dude, you know, imagine the apartment complex. Imagine if you lived, like sometimes when I'm walking out of my apartment complex, and I'm like, imagine if I was like an NFL player, like I would still live here. Like, yeah. Especially if I wasn't like the man, like if I was just like,
I guarantee you've got a nicer apartment than Brock Purdy.
Oh yeah. In San Francisco. That dude lives in the Tenderloin.
He got a roommate.
He's got a roommate.
A teammate. Like the practice squad dude, I think.
That's crazy.
He should have had a commercial or something by now, though. We can get Brock Purdy in a commercial, can't we?
Where do you think he lives? You think he lives in like Daly City?
I think read that he lives not too far from... I think the stadium is pretty close to their like practice facilities. I think he's in that general area.
Like Santa Clara?
Yeah.
What if he's in the dorms at Stanford?
You know what I read? He's in the dorms at Stanford and his roommate is Dim Sam. Bringing it back.
And Dim Sam is always late on rent.
Yeah.
Dim Sam's GPA is not good.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to like dig for gold. It's like, my man, just get a job.
Yeah.
Like, stop trying to dig for gold. That shit is gone.
He's really bad at cheating. Like, he just copy and paste straight from Wikipedia.
Yeah. it's always
got like the citation numbers on there.
He's like, most successful Stanford grads drop out and start a company. It's like, shut up. You're not going to Silicon Valley, Dim
it's
Sam.
Not happening, Dim Sam.
Your eyes are so close together. You look like Arthur Smith and that guy from that Family Guy scene.
Oh, yeah. I have to draw you.
Draw you.
Some of these are old. Mecole Hardman. Kentavious Street is a Falcon.
Who?
Donovan Peoples-Jones is a Lion.
Donovan Peoples-Jones is a Lion.
Yeah, I just got that right before we started.
Surprise.
He's pretty good.
He makes splash plays. He reminds me of Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah. Another person I had on my bench in every single league. Oh, that's another thing I wanted to talk about with you guys. Playing, and we're bouncing around a little bit, but playing fantasy with your brain, with your mind versus with your heart.
I thought about this recently too. Yeah.
So Rashid Shaheed is a rookie on my boys, the New Orleans Saints. And he is a splash play guy, but he has had a few splash plays this season.
He's had better games.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say he the other night I shouted out his line and said that's the most Rashid Shaheed line ever. Like, and he's proven me wrong.
Yeah. Because this week he went off. He went nuts.
Wait, why do I not see him on your team, Carl? I have him in the other three leagues
I'm in. I have him. I missed him in this league. Somebody picked him up. But I didn't play him in any of those other leagues. And he would have helped me in every single one of them. And I was just like, I have to start playing it. Like, because it feels like when I put him in, he doesn't get a splash play.
Never.
We lose to the fucking, and then I leave him on the bench and I look up and he's got 18 points, 19 points, 20 points, 25 points. Like, because he's got five catches for 200 yards or whatever.
I mean, this is.
It's tough. I mean, it just kind of depends on
this,
your other options, but like, because boom or bust guys will kill you.
Yeah.
But it's fun to root for him, especially when they're on your
catches,
team.
Three catches for 153 and two touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely nuts.
Here's what I'll say, though, for playing with your heart. That my advice, and this is not about winning at fantasy. This is about mental health. if you have a guy on more than half your teams, you got to play him in at least one league.
One of the league.
Week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if
yeah.
he's benched across the board and goes off, you will be so mad.
Yeah.
This happened to me with Tyler Boyd last year. I remember I was like, God fucking damn.
Yeah. Benched him in every league. Lost all of, won one of the games because Gibbs went off. We finally got a good Gibbs game.
We got two good Gibbs games in a row.
Yeah. Triple G, a good Gibbs game.
This is what I wanted to bring up, all right? My team in Foosball's League, 6-2, second place, feeling pretty good. I've got Eckler, Gibbs, Mostert, and Achane. But I'm wondering, is now the time to sell high on Gibbs and or Mostert? Because Gibbs has had two great weeks in a row, but Montgomery is coming back soon, I think.
I don't think Gibbs has given that job up. I think now he's hitting his stride. I think he's going to be the guy. I think he's too dynamic.
I agree that that's what should happen. I just worry these coaches have these loyalties to these vet running backs that boggles my mind.
Oh, obviously, dude. It's insane.
Obviously, Gibbs is more. Gibbs on a bye this week. But, and then here's my thinking with Raheem Mostert. Last 2 weeks, he's been okay and just barely okay. 6 points, 10 points. So not like goose eggs, but not great either.
Go ahead.
Both times he was getting basically nothing going yardage wise. This week he got a touchdown and then some garbage yards at the end. And the week before, it also was like, oh, at halftime. I mean, he also had a week a few weeks ago where he had 7 carries for 9 yards. And then the day was salvaged by 3 catches for 36, giving him 5 fantasy points. And then Achane comes back soon. Like, is it time to sell on Mostert?
I would, I'd be almost kind of curious Like, I bet you could get more for Achane right now than Mostert.
Achane's coming back?
He has like one more week of IR, I think. Let me see.
I mean, Achane's been amazing. Like, what he showed in those 2 weeks was incredible, but he's also misses the first week. He's gotten hurt a ton. Like, there's definitely
but he was a healthy scratch the first week, wasn't he?
Mm-mm. No, he was coming off an injury. I think he missed like almost all of training camp.
Well, here's what I look at with Achane. So he has one more week of IR against Kansas City.
Oh, no.
Then a bye week. So you're not playing him for two more weeks. But then after that, say he comes back then. His next two games are against the Raiders and Jets, who are both top 10 most generous defenses to fantasy running backs right now. Then the Commanders, Tennessee, and then Jets again, who are obviously top 10. So he could have a run when he comes back. But again, if he stays healthy. But it's not like Mostert is an embodiment of staying healthy all the time either. This is like the healthiest season he's ever had to get halfway through.
No, you almost want to keep... you almost want to weirdly keep both of them.
Yeah, so just in case. I know.
Just have the insurance.
You know who you want? You know who you want, I think? Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
That's who you want.
I think if you want him, if you drafted today and if you could go back in time and tell yourself with the number one pick, would you tell yourself to pick McCaffrey or Tyreek? McCaffrey probably, right?
Tyreek. I got Tyreek in another league, and he gives me 20 every week.
He's awesome.
And that I got him in a non-PPR.
I've got McCaffrey in a league, and it's pretty sick.
Because I think then if you pick your next picks at 24 and 25, you're more likely to get a decent wideout next to McCaffrey than you are to get a decent running back 24, 25,
Very true.
If you took Tyreek.
But just straight numbers goes, in our league, Tyreek Hill is the highest scoring player.
That's true.
In fantasy, so
Well, you can hire. Does that include quarterbacks, though? I mean, there's probably. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Speaking of quarterbacks, your quarterback, your favorite quarterback, Mr. Ryan Meharry.
Yeah.
Screwed me over this week.
Me too, man. In a few games.
I mean, damn.
I've not been that livid after a game where I was just pacing, just violent, just so fucking mad. And I know as a Chiefs fan, I don't really get to be mad too often. Like, I don't get to, like, I have no reason to complain, but that game was so infuriating, man. I hate so many of our players. Just, I hate them. I fucking.
Who? Name names.
Sky Moore, man. I hate you.
Yeah.
Like, you caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. You had a nice punt return and a key moment in the AFC Championship game. And so you've got like a small little tiny place in my heart forever for that. But overall, I hate your guts. Like, I wish you would just go away and I never had to see you again. You're so annoying to me because you don't do anything right ever.
Oh, it is amazing how guys who like, there have been guys on the Steelers who like, I acknowledge that this guy has done good things, but like, we had a wideout named Mike Wallace that I just fucking hated. And it just seemed like whenever you needed him, he had hands of stone in the biggest moment. Well, we have this guy now that I hate, this like white punt returner we have named Gunnar.
Saluski?
Oh, my God.
So Saluski?
Makes a mistake every time he touches the ball. I hate him.
Yeah, I've heard he's a name that like somehow, you know, just through the algorithm when Steelers Twitter shows up on my timeline, everyone's calling for his head. They fucking, the whole city hates that guy.
You know what it takes? You know how bad you have to be for Pittsburgh to hate you as a white punt returner?
Yeah.
You got to be fucking,
your name is
be
the fucking hero.
Yeah, your name is Gunnar Osluski, and they hate you in Pittsburgh, and you're a white wide receiver? That's insane.
If your name was like Petey Pierogi and they still hated you in Pittsburgh, you'd be in trouble, man. Carl, who's your saint? Who is a saint that you have hated besides Mother Teresa? We all know about your beef with her.
Mother Teresa, Saint Nicholas.
She doesn't deserve sainthood.
Little Saint from Hardball.
Kanye West's son, Saint.
Kanye West's son, Saint.
Saint West.
I think. Let me think on that. Somebody who, I mean, Foster Moreau a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. before we knew.
Yeah, and only slightly less so after.
Yeah, slightly less so. Just on the football field. I don't know, man. I'll tell you. I got one for you. A saint in the history of the Saints that I've hated, that I have absolutely hated.
Yeah.
None other than cornerback Eli Apple.
Mm. Oh, yeah. There's not a human being on earth that likes Eli Apple.
Yeah. That son of a bitch.
There's a few fan bases that feel that way. Definitely the Giants.
Chiefs fans hate him. Oh,
was he a Bengal?
Bengal, yeah. He talked so much shit as a Bengal past 2 years. Chiefs fans can't stand Eli Apple.
Bengals? Corners. Something goes in. Because I just think about Pac-Man Jones all the time. Remember when Pac-Man Jones had to do that video apologizing to Antonio Brown because he had, when Brown got literally his personality knocked out of him by Vontaze Burfict in that playoff game?
Yeah.
And then Brown or Pac-Man claimed he was faking it. And then like a week later.
No, I don't remember this.
Oh, yeah. He claimed he was faking the injury to get the flag. And then a week later, when Brown didn't play in the next round playoff game, Pac-Man posted a video from like his front yard where he's just like, my bad, man. I thought you were faking it. But if you're skipping this game, I guess you weren't. So my bad.
Pac-Man. Just give the guy the benefit of the doubt if he's unconscious. Yeah, baby. You know?
At that time, you could give Antonio Brown the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. That was probably the very last time. That was the moment all the benefits went right out the window that day.
Man, he was so good for a minute.
Who? Yeah. Antonio Brown?
Yeah.
Oh,
that was like amazing. A 2-year span that he was just two of the
10 highest fantasy scoring seasons by anyone ever.
Like,
you know,
casually, like, putting out, like, 1,800 yard seasons.
Ooh, 130 catches, craziness.
Yeah.
The route running. It was the route running, man.
Yeah. I mean, I had him on my fantasy team, and I had some success with him on my fantasy team.
Ooh, yeah, I bet. I mean, I think it was him. They had him go on that, you remember that sports science show? Yeah. That they did for a while. I think they had AB run. I think it was AB. They had him like run his routes blindfolded, and he was still accurate with to like landing in the right spot within like a couple inches or something like that. Because he just had like the muscle memory of his route running was so precise.
That's wild.
Crazy.
Hey, Greg, can I guess the Steelers player that you hated?
Yeah, go for it.
Rashard Mendenhall.
Yeah. Oh, I've already talked about this on the pod.
Have you?
But it's bitter because then it became bitterness that he retired and became a more successful TV writer.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He was working on Ballers. I was like a staff writer and he was like ESC. This is inside baseball for people who don't know low-level Hollywood writing lingo. But I was like, motherfucker, yeah, look, I didn't dislike him. I mean, he had that tough fumble. In the Super Bowl, he was part of the like pipeline of guys who went and played for Arizona after playing for us because of Bruce Arians, I think. Like, went and played a year there. There was like Marcus Gilbert and a lot of those guys that would just go, I want to say,
go retire in Arizona.
Pretty much.
Feels like something Pittsburgh people would do.
But yeah, and then I was jealous of him. I actually, like, honestly, recently, like, thought about it, and it was like, he fell out of love with football, and he liked TV, and he wanted to go, and I'm like, you know what? Fucking good for him, actually. Like, I'm happy for him, but there was a time when I was very anti-Mendenhall.
Yeah, I just imagine he was somebody that would be frustrating to cheer for.
Yeah.
When you have a first-round bust rookie running back, or first-round bust running back, it sucks. You just, like, you instantly...
Oh, you don't stand them. Not embarrassed.
Man. I got one too.
Can we go back and play from the first episode when I tell people not to take Najee Harris? I want that on my tombstone, man.
You did. You did say that, and I took him. I took him, and he has not been good for me.
Or in real life, to be honest.
Yeah. See, our teams, Greg, we like our running backs to run 4.6 40s.
I do.
We want them to hit that hole as slow as possible.
Because Le'Veon Bell made it work because he was just dancing around waiting like a point guard waiting for like a lane to attack
something to get to the rack. To pop
and
open.
It turns out not everyone can do that.
No, it's a very unique skill set that he had.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, was that the year after you guys won the first Super Bowl? You took him with like pick 32.
That was our luxury pick. Straight from Roger Goodell's basement, he announced the Clyde Edwards-Helaire pick, and then and then next day, pick number one, day two, was T. Higgins, and boy, man, we could really use us some T. Higgins right now.
I bet.
Yeah,
you can never look back at the guys drafted after. Let me look right now. Let me see who got drafted after Najee, because it's going to drive me crazy. Carl, who's a big Saints draft disappointment lately?
Lately? Let me look at our last few draft picks. I'll tell you.
Trevor Penning. Did that?
Yeah. Trevor, whatever his name is. Trevor Penning?
Yeah.
I don't even know this guy. But I like the Brian Breesy guy we got.
Yeah, is he doing well?
Yeah. Trevor Penning was the guy that was like super crazy that we were like, oh, this guy's a nutcase.
Yeah, he'd watch like snuff films before games and stuff.
What? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I mean, all right. Look, for Najee, even if we had to have taken a running back, the next pick was Travis Etienne, so that would be nice.
Yeah, but you never know. What do you think the problem is with Najee?
He's slow.
To be honest.
He's slow and he's got bad vision.
And he's got a bad line because we've been using our first round picks on running backs.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Also, the next pick after that was Greg Newsome, the corner who I think has been pretty good for the Browns. We just tried to get a corner in a trade today, and it fell through. I was really excited. Our corner is a big weak spot for us.
Another thing that gets me so pissed off about Sky Moore. So that draft, I was such a big George Pickens fan. Like, he was my favorite receiver. I was like, dude, please just get this guy. He's so fucking awesome. He's just let Mahomes throw up there and let him high point the ball and just make crazy catches. It'll be so fun. Second round comes around. Chiefs pick. It's there. Pickens is on the clock. And then that little draft ticker thing comes up. Trade. Chiefs trade back 4 picks. Picks come. And then right before the Chiefs pick, it's the Steelers. And Pickens is still on the board. And they take Pickens. And the next pick is Sky Moore. And so, and then the other pick that we got from trading back, we took Darian Kennard, who's just been a fucking pud. Like, he can't do shit.
Wasn't that the same draft where I desperately wanted the Steelers to get Creed Humphrey, though, and you guys got him?
That was the year before, so that was our comeuppance. Okay. Yeah. Or 2 years before.
Imagine Pickens on the Pickens and Mahomes.
Be fucking unreal. Unreal.
Yeah. If I put Pickens on the Chiefs and we started a draft right now for the rest of the season, would you take him in the first round?
Say that again?
If Pickens got traded to the Chiefs today and you drafted a new fantasy league for the rest of this season, how high would you take George Pickens with Mahomes throwing to him? 12?
Pick 12?
Yeah.
I'd say probably maybe back end of second round.
Okay, all right. Much higher than he went.
Yeah, where'd y'all take him at? In the fourth?
Where did I take Pickens? Yeah, probably fourth fifth. No, he fell later than that, actually.
Yeah, I've got Pickens in... like 4 leagues. I've got Pickens in so many leagues.
I got him in 1. I got him pretty late too.
I just have him. I haven't paid as close attention to his fantasy output because the league where I have him is the league where my team is really bad.
Sunday was such a stressful day. Like that game, the Chiefs game was fucking awful. And then all my fantasy teams were, I was looking to go 1-5 before Jahmyr Gibbs saved me. And there are 2 guys that I was just screaming at my computer, Kyle Pitts, as per usual, my weekly tradition of getting furious at Kyle Pitts. And then George Pickens. George Pickens didn't do shit for the entire game. And his stat line ended up 1 catch, 22 yards, and a touchdown. Yeah. And so I was like, all right, I guess he got me the touchdown.
What did that get you, 10 points?
8.
Yeah.
I mean, I took Pickens in the middle of the 6th round. 2 picks later, someone took DeAndre Hopkins, who I would have loved to have had this week. He went off. No kidding.
How about Will Levis?
Levis, yeah.
Mr. Mayonnaise.
Talked about the mayo, man.
Mayo in his coffee. Beyonce got hot sauce in her bag, swag. Will Levis got mayo in his coffee.
All right, I think we should issue a challenge. If mayo, we're on Zoom again next week, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
If mayo Will Levis has another big game, we all have to have a cup of coffee on the Zoom with a squirt of mayo. We have to.
Here's what's crazy about that. I don't even drink coffee. So let alone coffee with mayonnaise in it.
Yeah, I'll send you we'll have HeadGum send you a new Keurig and some decaf pods. They should probably send us all a Keurig. Actually, Kevin, can we get them to send us all new Keurigs? And can please? I get one of those ones where I can put it on like a timer in the morning?
Kevin. Yes.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you.
Kevin what does coffee make you feel like? You drink it before you go to work in the morning?
Yeah, I drink it a lot.
I've recently, like within the last few weeks, become a big time coffee drinker.
Whoa.
More so that I usually just...
Welcome, comrade.
Thank you. I used to have it just like in the morning, just kind of start my day, which was a COVID thing. So I was like, it'll be like a nice kind of... I romanticized the idea of having like a cup of coffee to start the day and then I'm on my way. And then now in the past few weeks, I've just like, oh, you know what? Like I'm way more on top of all my shit when I drink coffee. And it took me a little getting used to the jitteriness, but man, now I am way on board.
Now you're addicted to it. Another addiction.
Addicted. Yeah.
First, it was fentanyl for you, and now it's coffee.
First, you it's started still, with fentanyl, which yeah, was crazy. Yeah.
And then I needed a little something to help pick me up. So now I'm dosing my fentanyl with my coffee.
That's why I tell my kids not to take fentanyl, because I feel like it's a gateway to coffee.
But my number one addiction, still women.
Women.
If you'd like to watch the video recording of this episode and check out some bonus shows with the guys, go to patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Speaking of drug addiction, which can often cause people to lose a lot of money. This is the worst segue ever. Speaking of not losing a lot of money, can we talk about something?
Hey, the Carlay hit.
The Carlay hit, baby. Collect your bread, kings. Collect your bread, kings and queens. Whoever took the Carlay, everybody should have took it.
I was going to do a manual sound drop at this point, but I don't think I can because my phone is recording my audio, but I had queued up that song Money by Little Richard and Quincy Jones, and it was queued up right to the chorus. So just picture that now, you guys.
Kevin, we got to get a soundboard when we're back in the studio so we can play.
We get some drops.
Sounds. Yeah. We got a lot of drops that we need.
It's soundboard or Keurig. We have to pick.
Well, I don't drink coffee, so I want a soundboard.
Okay.
Well, hear me out. Right. What if we got a Keurig and we just got Little Richard in person?
He died. He just died. I want a soundboard full of Coke Zero.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I like Coke Zero. That works for me.
The Carlay hit. Do we have a list?
I think I remember off the top of my head. Look, the individual bets didn't have a great week. I think they went 1-4 because they were 1-3, and then the Browns game went. Browns Seahawks went just over.
Yeah.
So I
chose spreads in those, right?
You bet the Steelers. The Steelers fucked you. But the Carlay hit. That's the headline here. I actually want to read an update. We got another great update from Charles Bill, our listener.
Oh, yeah.
Who's sent an email with the subject line Carlay, which was spelled C-A-R-L-E with an accent. he said, "Dear Foosballs, due to the successful Carlay, my life has been transformed. My bank account now has a comma, and I was able to tell my Panera manager where to put his soup and half sandwich combo." He doesn't say, but I'm assuming up his ass,
yeah,
and around the corner. Additionally, my precocious son Dominic was able to escape the mobster's sub shop basement and take enough mortadella with him to feed us for a month. They came to my house demanding I become their new odds maker because they've never seen locks like these before. I trust Carl will keep me at the top of the betting game and these people will not break my ankles and send me back to the old country. Unclear which old country that is. Thanks for the cash, Charles. So we're glad to hear it, Charles.
Charles, quit, man.
No, Charles. Keep doubling down. So
keep going. Because we're doing another Carlay this week.
Yeah.
The Carlays don't stop now. But I do only have to pick. I can pick because my Carlay hit, I can pick less bets this week.
That's right.
Eventually, yeah. The idea is the Rangers are beating up on the Diamondbacks.
Oh, nice. No. I wondered if we would be good luck for the Diamondbacks again like we were last week, but it's such a bummer that Adolis Garcia got knocked out of that series. He was on one of the all-time playoff hot streaks. It was awesome. But it looks like they're still going to win. Huh? They'll be up 3-1 then if they win this, right?
Up 3-1, yeah. What if they blow the 3-1 lead? They're daunting.
Been done.
It's been done. So let's go scores. I'm trying to get my – what are the spreads that we got
here? All right, Thursday night, Titans at Steelers. Steelers are favored by 2.5.
Yeah, I got -3 on mine.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to ride that Will Levis train. I want coffee with mayonnaise in it. I'm going Titans.
All right, yeah, Pickett is going to play, I hear now, but he's banged up. Minka is out. The Titans looked good last week. I think that much. So you're taking Titans plus the points, or are you taking money line?
Titans money line. Let's go Titans money line.
So that's an individual bet, or is that part of the parlay?
This is part of the parlay.
Oh, this parlay is already going to pay off big because you're taking an underdog money line. So, okay.
Yeah. We got Bears Saints. New Orleans -7.5. I normally don't bet on my team, but I think we can beat the fucking Bears.
Okay.
But that's skip money line? Skip it. I don't want to bet on my team.
Okay.
No. It's always dangerous.
Dolphins Chiefs. Chiefs been looking weird. They're due for a comeback. It's a big game, though.
In Germany.
What's the spread?
Kansas City -2.5. Over under 50. Ooh. Let's go Dolphins Chiefs over 50 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's part of the parlay. And then we got Falcons Vikings with a new quarterback. Atlanta -5.5. Let's take it. Falcons -5.5.
Is that going to be that. Who's taking over for the Falcons?
Heinicke?
So wait, Heinicke versus Dobbs?
Yeah, is that what it is? You think Dobbs will start
Vikings money line. Yeah.
It's Jaren Hall, who I think they didn't let him throw a pass.
Baker Mayfield got thrown in.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Baker got traded on a Tuesday and started Thursday night, I think.
That's going to be a rough game. Actually, skip that one. We don't know what the fuck is happening in that game.
All right, taking that one out.
Oh, Browns-Cardinals. Browns-Cardinals-Cleveland -8. Over, under 37.5. Let's go. Let's take Cleveland money line.
Yeah. Who's starting at quarterback for the Cardinals now?
I don't know. I have no clue.
I mean, they say Kyler is close to being back, but it doesn't sound like it would be this week.
Not this week, no.
No.
So let's go Browns money line on that one.
All right, so that's part of the parlay.
Yeah, those three are the parlay.
All right, you keep going. I'm going to try and figure out what the odds on that parlay are going to be. I think that's going to pay off pretty nice.
Okay. All right, we got some other games here to do some individual bets on.
These are some tough games.
Some very tough games this week. Damn. Rams Packers.
What the fuck? What do you do there?
Golly. Is Green Bay -3? I say I think the Rams can do that one. I'm going to say take Rams +3 in that one.
I mean, it's not looking like Stafford's going to play.
Oh, he's not? Where are you seeing injuries at? Why am I not seeing any injuries on mine?
He left the game, and I think the thought was that, I mean, it's kind of up in the air. Like, maybe he'll be at best a game-time decision, but it sounds pretty likely that he'll be out this week, maybe back the following week.
All right. Scratch that game. We'll move on from that game. We'll go Commanders-Patriots. Commanders look pretty good against the Eagles last week. Is Sam Howell is playing Bijan? That's not Bijan Robinson. Who is that?
Brian Robinson. Yeah, he's good.
It's New England -3.5. I'm going to say take Commanders +3.5. No. Take Commanders money line. Underdog money line. Take Commanders money line.
I like that.
Cool.
Take the Commanders money line over the Patriots.
Does losing their two edge guys give you any pause?
No, because the other one of the edge guys wasn't playing.
Yeah.
And Patriots, Mac Jones sucks.
Yeah. They still got their two stud interior dudes.
Yeah. Seahawks, Ravens. This is a tough one.
Ooh, man.
This is a tough one.
Seahawks. Two hot teams right now.
Two hot teams. Baltimore minus 5.5. Individual bet. Damn. What do you think, Brian?
Brian
Robinson Jr. What do you think, Brian Robinson Jr.? Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Brian Robinson Jr. What do you think, Ryan?
Man, I think I go Ravens.
Ravens with the points?
I'd do Ravens money lineups. I think it'll be pretty close. It's in Seattle. That's the scary part. And the Seahawks did just get make a low key, pretty great trade. They got Leonard Williams, the defensive tackle from the Giants. He'll definitely help them.
Is it in Seattle?
I think that's what I'm seeing here.
It is Seahawks away, Ravens home. It's in Baltimore.
Yeah, okay.
It's
okay.
A morning game. That's why I thought it might not be in Seattle.
But. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I'm feeling Baltimore. I'm feeling Baltimore money line.
Yeah, let's go Baltimore money line. We got to do some spreads, though. And the spread that I'm going to take, Buccaneers, Texans, Houston minus 2.5. I don't know about that. Because the Bucs are bad, but they ain't terrible. They were bad last week against a good team.
So you like Houston, Bucs plus Houston 2.5? Beat us.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, let's go Bucs plus 2.5.
I like it.
All right.
I like it. Let's go Bucs plus 2.5. And then Colts, Panthers. Panthers just got their first win. They are the home team, but it's Indiana minus 2.5. I take Indiana minus 2.5 in that one.
Yeah. Panthers probably feeling themselves too much.
Yeah.
So in that first win.
To get you guys excited, the Carlay, which to recap is Tennessee money line, Cleveland money line, and the Chiefs Dolphins game over 50.5. Pays off at plus 434. Meaning if you bet $100 on it and it hits, you win $434.
Yeah.
That's going to be a bigger payday than the Carlay was last week, I'm sure.
Take it.
We got two kind of blockbuster games. Really, I mean, three. But the first one is at 6:30 in the morning, so it doesn't really count. We got Eagles, Cowboys. And Bengals Bills Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, this is a big week. You know, and like I think some of these other games are going to be like I do think Baltimore Seattle should be a good game. There's a couple of good ones in there.
Awesome, great game for that 10:00 window.
We got Giants Raiders. Raiders at home. Giants. Giants are trash. Raiders are also trash. You know what? I'm gonna take the underdog in that one and say Raiders plus 2.5. I mean, Giants plus 2.5.
Did we even talk about did the Giants have like -8 passing yards in an entire game this
week? Yeah, because
they only lost in overtime.
Yeah. Who was it? And it was Tommy DeVito. Tommy DeVito over here.
Oh.
Dwight.
Actually, don't take that game because who the fuck is throwing for them?
I mean, if you have to watch that game, you got to have money on it just to make it.
Just to enjoy it.
Yeah.
you might want to bet your son on his life on that.
Let's do an over under on that game. Instead of a spread.
37.5.
Let's go under.
Under.
All right.
Under 37.5. I think the final score of that game will be 21-3.
Great. That's 8 picks total again. So you gave him more than you had to, Carl.
Oh, okay. That's good. Let's end it there. Because these next two games are tough. Like three games.
What are you guys thinking about these two games, though? The Eagles, Cowboys, and
Eagles, Cowboys?
Bills?
I can't wait for Eagles, Cowboys. Eagles are at home. I think they got a real shot.
Cowboys have some momentum.
Got a little momentum.
We didn't really talk about that. They smacked the shit out of the Rams.
But the Rams are the Rams, though.
True.
Yeah.
They got great receivers, but they're the Rams. Bills, Bengals. Bills, Bengals is going to be fun. I think Joe Shiesty is back.
He's back.
If I had to give an extra pick, I'm taking Cincinnati minus 2.5 in that game.
Yeah.
You don't have to play that one.
Doesn't count against us.
Doesn't count against us.
But we get all the credit.
Yeah.
If you do it.
This is what we're going to call a bonus Carl's Lock. And the way a bonus Carl's Lock works is if it hits, he gets credit. And if it misses,
you don't
didn't
say
actually
shit.
Say it.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Didn't, I didn't hold that against
I didn't him. Say a goddamn thing. I'm trying to win y'all money out here.
Trying to help you.
I'm trying to help you.
Is that fucking thanks I get?
This is a dog shit.
Unreal.
I think the Bengals might be. So every week there's a new best team. And I think we just have to like accept that there's not a team this year that's just fucking awesome, a powerhouse. And just you got to kind of roll with who's hot right now. But man, the Bengals do seem like they're putting it together and are becoming the team that we anticipated them being, which is kind of similar to what they did last year, right? Because they've started last year pretty shitty too, right? Like 1-3 or something.
Yeah. I mean, there's the classic, I will plug this, but the classic Will Sennett TikTok from last year about the Princess Diana one that just devolves into complaining about the Bengals. And that came at that like weird point where they were 1-3. And then of course they wind up being pretty good again. But this year, was it just Burrow's injury? Was it just that simple? Like, he could barely play those first few weeks and they sucked, and now he's healthy and they're a top team. Is it just that?
It's looking like it.
I think so. And I think there's maybe kind of getting some, the offensive line getting familiar with them, with each other, because there's some new pieces there.
Yeah. They've been really exploring each other's bodies.
They needed to really experiment sexually.
I've been going around to all the teams, college teams and pro teams, to have a talk with their facilities managers about having a separate shower for the O-line to explore each other's bodies.
So they can truly gel.
Yeah. How are you supposed to gel? And I am selling patented Greg Gallant offensive line shower gel for people to act as lubricant
as body wash.
As body wash and as a team, it's a team building loop, which is what you need.
It's an incredible formula that every team should have.
It's not just Old Spice body wash with a new label on it that I didn't put that much work
KY,
into.
With some KY, dumped in there. And just because the price tag is exorbitant.
Yeah. But the original price tag is still on there, and it's way less than the price tag I'm giving you. That's an artistic choice. It's like a throwback to the past when things were cheap and O-lines stayed away from each other in a sexual nature.
All the marketing has been done by Mr. Brainwash.
Mm-hmm. we should all get AI renderings of ourselves when we're on Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
when I'm giving my picks. Is like you can tell I'm here. I'm just like this, and my mouth never fully closed. I'm like, yes, that's right, y'all. I got a carlay coming right this direction.
Your hands are just wrong. hands are just wrong.
You're just like one really long pinky.
Five fingers. All right, y'all. Well, let's watch some football this week. What do you say, folks?
Let's do it.
We're halfway through the season.
Yep.
We're at the halfway mark. Next time we come in, let's check out where our rankings are.
And if Will Levis throws another 3 touchdowns, I'll at least drink mayo coffee, and that's a promise.
I will bring a sandwich in from Jersey Mike's with extra mayo.
And then you know what? You know what? I'll have coffee with mayo in it, and you have
a sandwich with
half and half and sugar.
Half and half. Yeah. I'll do a French dip, a Philippe's French dip with coffee as opposed to au jus.
Can we get a Philippe's sponsorship, Kevin?
Please.
This episode of Foosball is brought to you by Philippe's. Do you like the French dip?
And a lemonade?
The original?
Ooh. You're about to go to a Dodger game and you'd rather have a meal 10 times better than anything they offer for $4.75. Philippe's.
All right, y'all. We'll see you next week right here on Foosballs.
See you guys.
Love you.
Love you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.